Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
The Lord Jesus Christ commands the New Testament church to go into all the world and make disciples. In Mark 16:15, Jesus said to his disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The Great Commission in the book of Matthew says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." There is a huge distinction between a mere believer in Christ and one who becomes a disciple of our Lord. Remember that Jesus Christ loves you, but he does not want his children to ignore nor despise his commandments. Enjoy this wonderful series of messages entitled "The Cost of Being a Disciple," and learn what the distinction is between a mere believer and a follower of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear us here on Freedom 95 every Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m., and join us this morning at 10 a.m. at the Cambria Hotel in Noblesville, Hamilton Hall Conference Room, exit 210 off of I-69, or find us on Facebook, YouTube, or our website under Crown of Life Baptist Church. email me at gdezula@gmail.com. That's gdezula, G-D-Z-U-L-A. I look forward to hearing from you soon. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. This is part 7.
Paul says, I urge you, I persuade you, I encourage you with the utmost encouragement, brethren, not heathen, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. You could put the word perfect in there instead of holy. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Stinking thinking. Got to renew the mind. Renew the mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable. There it is again. Perfect will of God. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Renew your mind, renewing your mind, that we would have the mind of Christ. What was that bracelet that people used to wear? What would Jesus do? What would be in Jesus' mind right now? My mind's stinking thinking. Finally, brethren, farewell. Uh-oh. Be perfect. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Be of one mind. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. One mind. What does the Bible say? A double-minded man is unstable in all his way. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, Paul said in the book of Ephesians. Renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, humbleness of mind. Humbleness of mind. We're proud. We're boasters. We need to humble our mind. We're just part of that human nation. We want to be prideful and boasters. It's all about me in the human nature. But it needs to be all about Christ in the Christ-like nature, in the mind of Christ, the humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. These following doctrines of Jesus found in the Sermon on the Mount are not normal to human nature, but are abnormal to the natural mind. Therefore, disciples need to renew their mind with the power that is given to the believer by the Holy Spirit. Disciples must cleanse their thinking to not think in the framework of the unregenerate man. But the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 37, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh to evil. Ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's our natural position in life. You punch me, I punch you back. You blow up my ship, I blow up your ship. And maybe two more at the same time. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. That is not normal, is it? Somebody smack you on the cheek, and what are you going to do? Smack them in the mouth. Now, that's our normal process of how our normal mind processes things. But God is telling us to process things differently. When they smote Jesus on the face and spit in his face, did he retaliate? He could have called out to heaven and had a legion, 10,000 legions of angels come and wipe out those religious leaders. If any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. That's not natural. We countersue. That's our natural instinct. If any man will sue thee at the law, take away and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemy. That's not natural. That is not the natural human mindset. But Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We need to have the mind like our Savior. That's what the Sermon on the Mount is all about. Having the mind like our Savior while we live on this earth. It's a mind adjuster. Adjusting our thinking. So that it's not stinking thinking, that it is heavenly thinking. And the right thinking that pleases our Lord. Amen? Amen? Now, let's continue on with Jesus' discourse in John chapter 8,
verse 31.
And you tell me, is he directing his conversation to anyone different than those Jews which believed on him? Okay? They answered him, they being who? The Jews which believed. We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And you know, it was interesting. In that song that we sang, it said, set you free. And the Bible says, make you free. A lot of people quote it based upon that hymn there, and I didn't realize that it was in that hymn. But verse 34. Jesus answered them. Who's them? The Jews which believed. Not just the Jews. The Jews that believed. Okay? That's specifically, you have to be careful. Make sure you understand who them is. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are, ye, who is ye? The Jews that believe. He's talking still to the Jews that believe. Ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me. The same ones, the Jews who believed, he's telling you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. They answered and said unto him, they, who are they? The Jews that believed answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication, trying to put a dig in there, thinking he was born, his mother was committing fornication, not that she was a virgin. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceed forth and come from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. So Jesus is said to them, again, Jews that believe. And you go all the way to the end, and it says in verse 58, Jesus said unto them, the same them, verily I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they, being the Jews which believed, took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Did you catch that? The narrative never changes. So you can believe, but you got a lot. We got a lot to do to work on the heart. We got a lot to do to work on the heart once we get saved. Believing is easy. It's just trusting in the Lord. But the aspect of following, cleaning up our act, throwing out the flesh, and putting on Christ. That is the new, putting on the new man, and humbling ourselves to the continued words of Christ. So we talked about there also that disciples fall backwards. They backslide. They can't continue in the words of Christ. And we saw that happen with some of Jesus' disciples. Let's just go to the bottom of that first section there. The demands upon a disciple may appear impossible. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So being a disciple requires coming after him, following, and denying ourselves of earthly pleasures, worldly pleasures. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his work. So discipleship is related to rewards. It has nothing to do with our eternal salvation, which is by faith, purely by faith. A disciple must police himself. We dealt with that 2 weeks ago. The Bible says there, the Apostle Paul, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. We're to look inside of ourselves and examine our faith. Examine ourselves and prove ourselves that we are in the faith. Roman numeral 3 in your notes, we dealt with this. A disciple must meet the demands for perfection. Over and over again we see this in the scripture. A disciple is commanded to go unto perfection. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Means stop going back into sin and repenting. You know, it's like those who keep coming up to the mourner's bench. And they're constantly coming up to the mourner's bench and crying out to God and either getting saved again or rededicating their life. I've seen that. Judy has seen that. Jerry has seen that. Others of you have seen that in the ministry. People who keep coming forward to the mourner's bench and never getting over the repentance from dead works. They don't go on to perfection. I've ministered, and Pastor Ellery and I have ministered to so many people that have done that multiple times, and they just fall away. They just fall away. They don't. When people fall away, when I was young in the ministry, I was like, you had prayer with them, you went to the altar, and then I was thinking, well, maybe the prayer didn't stick. Maybe I didn't say it right. Maybe it was me. Maybe they didn't say the right words. You know, maybe I need to put this word in front of that word. You know, maybe I didn't prepare them right. It's the seed is falling upon on soil. The ground is like soil. And some hearts, the soil is all been the tiller went through the soil, and the soil is ready to receive the seed. But then some hearts are stony ground. And the seed gets blown away with the winds, or the fowl in the air come down and take the seed away. Others, the seed falls upon thorny ground or stony ground. And so you start to understand it's each individual has to prepare themselves. They can believe, but can they follow and continue in the words of God? Will they prepare themselves and humble themselves and receive the word with gladness day in and day out? It's a growing process. Just like your children, you had to feed them day in and day out, give them food so they would grow. And you hope that they would grow to the point that they would be mature enough to live on their own outside of the home. You're preparing them. And it's the same with a child of God. Some are never get to the point of being ready to leave the nest. And others are. Disciple needs to renew his or her mind. There's a renewing process. We got to think differently, especially you and I who have been saved, some of you who have been saved later in life. Your thinking, my thinking, had to change from the way the world processes things, the way I used to process things, to the way now I need to process according to the Word of God. Renew your mind. Think differently than the way the world thinks. And so there's this constant cry in the Scriptures to renew our mind and our thought processes and clean out the mind. You know, get out the old files in the computer, throw them out and put new files in there, new data. That's what we need to do. We need to put new data into our mind, a clean thought process. So there's this constant cry for renewing of the spirit. Now, Roman numeral 6 in your notes. a disciple's conjugal relationship with Christ. Dr. Dixon touched on this just a hair last Sunday. Conjugal means marital, relating to marriage or the relationship of a married couple, a conjugal bond. And I'm just learning that word myself within the last year. Matthew chapter 11, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." Take my yoke. What's a yoke? What is a yoke? A yoke, if you have oxen or horses plowing your fields, you got to think back to that period of time. They didn't have John Deere tractors and combines and tillers. And they would put a yoke on the oxen or the horse to pull the plow, to pull the sleds, to pull the sewing machines. So he's saying, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And I will give you rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Following the Lord is not that difficult.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.